to enjoy the pleasures of life, the rejoice in the labors that you have done. This is the gift of God. I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to give good gifts. The Lord knows how to provide what we need precisely, exactly. And I'm thankful that there can be that blessing. Now, obviously, it's not just the external man, not just the things of that are material that the Lord gives. I'm thankful that He gives that which makes us healthy inwardly. And our soul can prosper. John wrote about that in his third letter. In verse 2, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Wow, that's putting it at the top of the list, isn't it? "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." And he doesn't end it there. He said, "Even as thy soul prospereth." In the same measure, in the same commensurate capacity, you would have your soul being blessed so that the outward would be blessed. We get it backwards sometimes. We think, God, you've got to bless me materially. You've got to bless me health-wise. You've got to bless me that this manner and that manner. But when our soul is blessed and we place priority there, then there's an overflow. And I think that's what David may have been referring to. My cup overflows. Praise God, because it's going to have effect and impact on every area of our lives. Amen. And you're going to be able to make that testimony then even stronger. Praise God, because your soul is prospering. And all the other changes are there. Now, the hereafter is something that's debated in our world. They talk about whether or not there's a hereafter, and they have reports of those who have passed and then have come back and so on. We know what the Scripture says, and that's where we put our trust. Because eternal life appears 26 times in the Word of God. Eternal life. That's the gift of God that we're talking about here today. Everlasting life, as a phrase, appears 11 times in Scripture. So we know the God who is eternal. We know the God who exists from everlasting to everlasting. We know the God who is timeless invites us to share that with Him. "Thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. I dwell," he says. Amen. And you read that in Isaiah and recognize that he wants to bring revival. He wants to bring power to those who recognize their need of him, to those who are weak, to those who are reaching for more, to those who understand they can't make it on their own. They've got to have the power of God. And so they make time to be in the house of the Lord so that they can be in the presence of the Lord. They make time for the Word of God day by day, because Bible reading enriches any day. Praise God. And we move into that realm of understanding the blessing of the Lord that is even more. Praise God. If you follow NASA's report, if you're aware of things that are going on and on Mars and so on, not that that's a priority, but we spend billions of dollars getting there, so we might as well pay a little bit of attention, I guess, to what the rover's doing, and besides barking along there on the Mars surface. Their search for water is what is a priority, because water is essential for life. And you get all excited about Uranus maybe having ice, or some of the other moons of Jupiter and so on. There's a possibility that there's water. Well, there's water here. If we can keep from polluting it, there's a lot of water here. Thank God. And all life forms on this planet require water. It's no wonder that Jesus said, and you believe as the Scripture has said, out of you will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Amen. And John amplifies, John explains, elaborates on what he's talking about. "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." The Holy Ghost not yet given. Jesus is not yet glorified. But thank God that day came. And it's continuing. God's promise of pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh is still happening. The Lord is still doing the work. Amen. And the Lord said, if any man thirst, well, we know every man's going to thirst. And we mark it down, every woman is going to have thirst. And so the Lord was including everyone. The Lord wasn't locking anybody out. He wasn't saying, it's not for this group, it's not for that denomination, it's not for that church. No, every man, every woman, hallelujah, can receive, praise God, and the blessing of the Lord would be there as well. Amen. I read Brother Billy Cole's book, in The Revival in Thailand, and how that the Buddhist population would just shrug when Bible evidence was presented, like I just quoted to you from John 7, 38 and 39. They'd say, so what? And so he recognized it was going to take miracles. It was going to take signs and wonders. It was going to take the move of God in that realm to convince people to understand that the power of the Holy Ghost needs to fall upon them. They need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so sure enough, God began to work those signs and wonders, began to perform those miracles, and Buddhists began to respond to the work of the Lord. For the longest time, it was just Christian denominations that were responding. Methodists, Presbyterians, and so on. A whole bunch of the Presbyterians were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of God came forth. In fact, one individual wrote, I believe it was 40 points that the Jesus name people cannot answer. So Brother Cole said, you come to, maybe it was even 60 points. Anyway, a great number. He said, you come to our camp. There's only one bed on the campground. You're going to have it. And you'll have all the food you need. You'll have everything. You'll have an opportunity to speak every day. We want you to come and be with us. So he got up the first day and spoke. He got up the second day and spoke. The third day, he said, Brother Cole, I want you to baptize me in Jesus' name. Praise God. And that was the president of the Presbyterians. He couldn't get them to leave that church to come to the apostolics, but that's okay. They got the experience. They got the truth. They teach the doctrine. Whatever you want to call yourselves, just as long as you have the Spirit of God moving and working and the apostolic, we're going to see that. We're going to see that more and more. Praise God. Amen. Be on the alert. Somebody that's hungry, somebody that wants to know the truth, someone that wants to experience the infilling of the Holy Ghost, be aware of it. Praise God. Because there are preachers who are reaching out for that now. Amen. Contacting Brother Mendenhall, wanting to hear about it, wanting him to come and speak. Praise God. Oh, I'm believing God for revival. Hallelujah. As the Scripture has said, that's how people can believe. And when they do, they shall receive. Hallelujah. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink, the Lord said. Thank the Lord that there is that fulfillment and the blessing of what God desires to do. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Greek, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It's no coincidence that Paul would use that phrase, that term, drink, just like the Lord did. Because that's what happens when the Spirit of God begins to flow. Hallelujah. And out of your mouth comes these sounds and these words. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of God is there. Now, in Samaria, sensational revival. Philip went there preaching miracles, signs, wonders, great joy in the city. Because even demons were being cast out. Powerful, powerful move of God, but they needed more. Amen. And Philip preached to them about the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized in that name. In fact, it's emphasized in two verses in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, and I believe it's verse 16. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. But they still needed more. I'm thankful as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Paul wrote to Galatians in chapter 3. There's neither Jew nor Greek. He says it again. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Everybody is included. Thank God. You are all one in Christ Jesus. I'm glad for that all. I'm glad that the Lord includes everybody. Hallelujah. And we go back to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. And again, recognize all made to drink into one spirit, because that's who God wants to include. Everybody. Amen. Now, Simon, you know, there's not very many people named in Scripture, is there? There's multitudes. There's, you know, there's the whole nation. But we only know a few names. Simon is named in Scripture. I'm sure, hopefully he was converted. Hopefully his prayer was sincere, you know. Pray for me, the Lord will forgive me. Hopefully he really followed on in the doctrine of the apostles. Amen. And probably he would like for his name to, you know, in Scripture to be in a different setting. But hopefully he continued on to make it better. But he believed. He was baptized. But then he offered money to the apostles for them to give him the power to lay his hands on someone, and they received the Holy Ghost. It was something dynamic. It was something supernatural. It wasn't just a nod or a raised hand or anything like that. It was powerful. And he wanted that power. And he was willing to buy it. He was willing to pay his money to be able to have that power. But Peter said, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God. Everybody say, gift of God. The gift of God may be purchased with money. Money and everything else is going to perish in this world. Amen. We believe the Lord is coming soon. You believe the Lord's coming soon? Oh, man. We see the signs multiplied around us. That's why there's got to be a push for the giving. Christmas for Christ is just one avenue. There's so many other areas that we need to make sure we're putting forth every effort that we can to reach the lost. Amen. Our efforts, our Bible studies, our testimony. Amen. That's so important. But our giving as well, so that the missionary can go, so that the pastor can go to some little town that needs to hear this truth. Amen. Oh, God, help us to recognize where we are in the coming of the Lord. Money is going to perish, but the gift of God is eternal. Amen. Amen. It can't be purchased any way by money, by good works. No, it's received by faith. And thank the Lord we can be involved in the outreach to this world, places that we're not able to go. I fly somewhere, and Brother and Sister Heiler, you'll be flying, and there'll be lights, as you see, little towns that you're flying over. Here's a community. Here's a bigger community. There's more lights. And like me, you may wonder, are they ever going to hear this truth? Are they ever going to know how important it is to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? And the promise is there for them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we pray for them. Oh, God, help. Thank God we can help through Christmas for Christ and understand it's by grace you are saved. Ephesians 2 and 8 lets us know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh, thank the Lord for that gift that we can have from God. By grace you are saved. That's emphasized in that chapter, also in verse 5. Not of self, but of the Savior. Grace through faith. Amen. And Paul would emphasize that. Paul, who had such knowledge and such experience in the works of the law and the Hebrew heritage that he could boast of, and the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and concerning the law, blameless and so on. He had to make the transition of understanding it's not by works of the law. In fact, in the Hebrews, it says the law made no one perfect. Thank God for grace. Thank God for the deliverance. Thank God for the understanding. 1 Timothy 1 and 14, by grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank God that we can receive that grace. We can understand it's greater than the law. It's greater than my sin. Thank God for the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Oh, thank God that he was willing to give. Thank God that he was willing to shed that blood, because that's how we have redemption. That's how we have forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Riches, that's what our God possesses. Riches that are beyond purchase. Riches that are beyond transaction. Riches that are beyond anything that we might measure by this world. Because it brings about salvation that is eternal. Eternal life, everlasting life, redemption through his blood. Chapter 2 and verse 7, that in the ages to come, this is Ephesians still, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, thank God that he zeroed in on you and me. He didn't ignore our cry. He didn't say, oh, they're too sinful. Oh, they've gone too far. Oh, they've made too much of a mess. No, his exceeding riches of grace, thank God, reached out to us in kindness. Thank the Lord. And those that you contact, those that you witness to, those that you invite can likewise partake of the exceeding riches of his grace. It doesn't run out. It doesn't become extinguished. It doesn't dry up. It doesn't become bankrupt. In fact, you find that word exceeding several times in the book of Ephesians. Besides the exceeding riches of his grace, the Bible talks about there in Ephesians 1:19, the exceeding greatness of his power. And I love Ephesians 3 and 20. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Thank God that there can be that kind of harvest. Thank God there can be that kind of offering. Thank God there can be that kind of healing. Thank God there can be that kind of deliverance. Oh, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God, help us to step into that realm of faith and let God do the work. Let God provide. Let God bless. Let God bring it forth. Hallelujah. Thank God for his goodness and his blessing. Amen. 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 Now, wages. Wages. That's time. That's your life. You get paid so much an hour, and that's remuneration for your life, for your effort, for your knowledge, your ability, your talent. It's all important. We earn it. We enjoy it. It's the way it should be. The wages of sin. Never forget that there's an alternative to the gift of God. There's an option, not a good one. Not a preferred one. The wages of sin is hard. The wages of sin produce death. That's the final outcome. It's a process, to be sure. It's a process of dying and suffering loss. And the pleasures of sin are just for a season. Brother Mike taught a great lesson on Moses in particular today. He recognized the pleasures of sin were for a season. Man, he had the world by the tail, so to speak, being in Pharaoh's palace. He could have lived to the nth degree in all of the riches and all of the treasure, all of the pleasure. But guess what? He recognized it's just for a season. We're in a season now. Christmas, lights, decorations, excitement, gifts, all of this stuff. But we know the season's going to change. It's going to be over. It'll come to an end. Moses recognized that. And God help us to understand the pleasures of sin are just for a season. And then the wages are paid. How much better focus on eternal life? How much better understand there's abundant life? And Jesus made that comparison of the thief and himself in John 10 and 10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come. Thank God he came. Thank God the gift is there. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave the gift of God. He gave Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Jesus would declare, I am come that they might have life and that more abundantly. Oh, hallelujah. Don't live below your privileges. Don't live, we might go window shopping, the old phrase, internet shopping. And we're looking through the window. And I wish I had that. I wish I could buy that. I wish I, window shopping. No, get God in the blessing that he wants to give you, the strength that he wants to provide, the uplifting power of his presence, and what God is able to give. Lay hold on eternal life. Well, I thought that was a gift. It is a gift. Grab a hold of it. Don't let it go. Don't neglect it. Don't ignore it. Look at 1 Timothy 6 and 12. The apostle says, fight the good fight of faith. Then he says, lay hold on eternal life. Hold to it tightly. Don't be lax about it. Don't be lazy about it. Don't be indifferent about it. No, you lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called. There's that calling, Brother Mike. Praise God. And you've professed a good profession before many witnesses. Keep going. Keep going. Hallelujah. Those many witnesses among you are going to pray for you and believe God for you. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6 and 19, just 7 verses later, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Praise God. God, help us to have that kind of backbone. God, help us to have that kind of determination. I'm going to lay hold on eternal life. Amen. Not indifferent, not apathetic, but recognizing this is what God has for me. Think about the gifts that the Lord has promised in his word. John 14 and 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Well, that's not cheap peace. That's not peace that's just going to evaporate. That's not peace that's just going to disappear at the first bit of trouble. No, he clarified it. It's not like the world gives. The world has peace in small measure, and it's built upon materialism. It's built upon political favor and all of these other aspects. And that's why the Lord said, my peace I give unto you. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. He would reiterate what he said in verse 1 of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank God. His peace has a way of evaporating that power of the devil and all of the fear that he tries to put upon you. That's why he declares, fear not. Hallelujah. Thank God that there is that strength that he would provide. And our heart doesn't need to be troubled. Our heart does not need to be afraid. Thank God we can move into the realm of understanding. The power of the Lord is there. Oh, look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Thank God that the Lord has freely given to us so much. This verse says, now we have received, not the spirit of the world. There's that contrast again. Just like Jesus said, I didn't give you peace like the world gives. Here, this verse is saying, you didn't receive the spirit of the world, but you received the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, thank the Lord for those gifts that multiply, those gifts that are abundant, those gifts that are exceeding. We have received the right spirit. We're not going to transition into that which is the world. No, we want to know the things that are freely given to us of God and the blessings that the Lord has provided, the strength that He would continue to provide. Freely given might mean it's cheap. No, the Spirit of God is not cheap. The blood of Jesus is not cheap. The name of Jesus Christ is not cheap. Thank God it's not going to fall apart. It's not going to deteriorate. It's not going to be broken. The batteries are not going to run down. God is going to continue to bring forth His power and His might and His blessing into your life. Hallelujah. Thank God for what He has provided. And the ultimate gift, oh my, the ultimate gift of God. You know, gift of God is an interesting phrase. Like we talk about love of the truth, love of the truth, love of God, and so on. The gift of God can be those blessings, those provisions, those measures that the Lord has provided. And then the gift of God can mean the gift of God Himself. And that's who Jesus is, the ultimate gift. Hallelujah. God is that gift, the Word made flesh and dwelling among us. The angels sang praises to the one that they knew in that eternal realm. And now they're saying glory to God in the highest because He has come in the flesh to redeem man, to bring them salvation. Hallelujah. The shepherds stood in wonder at what they heard and the blessings of God that were displayed because they were being exposed to the one whose name is wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, hallelujah. Wise men would appear later on presenting gifts to the one who could give them the greater gift, the greatest gift, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Thank God that we can receive from Him what He desires to give. John 1 and 12 says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Oh, thank the Lord for that power and that blessing as we receive Him. That's why the Lord, after the resurrection, breathed on the disciples and spoke some simple words to them. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. He wanted their focus to be on what was coming, the greatest gift. He wanted them to understand there's more that you can receive. You've seen much already, the miracles, the teaching, the dead being raised, all of those things happening, but receive ye the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God that there would be that power, there would be that blessing, there would be that unspeakable or indescribable gift that the Lord would provide. Thank God that the Lord would give His name, He would give His power, He would give His blood, He would give His word, He would give His Spirit. Thinking about Brother Denny preaching here in our service years and years and years ago. Sister Linda was taking care of some little ones, and she brought that girl to the church, and Brother Denny preached, and the power of God moved in. And that little girl, I can't remember her name, but she received the Holy Ghost so strong she couldn't speak English. She'd open her mouth and tongues would come out. Praise God. And probably Sister Linda took her back home still talking in tongues. Hallelujah. Because God knows how to give His gift. Hallelujah. God knows how to provide His power. God knows how to keep His promise. That young girl's dad was a pastor in Soldotna of another church. But I don't think she's ever forgotten what God gave her that day. Amen. She may not be walking in this truth. She may not have the abiding presence of God in her life, but she'll never forget what the Lord did. Amen. And Brother Denny preached a powerful message. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad our God is faithful. I'm glad our God is powerful. I'm glad He keeps His word. Amen. Amen. And Paul would say, I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. You believe that? Praise God. And thank the Lord, we can commit to him. We can believe him. We can trust him. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 is a powerful verse. I'm thankful. This is definitely one you need to underline if you're a highlighter or underlining in your Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you? You don't have to be weak. You don't have to fall. You don't have to stumble. You don't have to be up one day and down the next. You don't have to be in the church one day and out the next. No, he'll establish you and keep you from evil. That's the gift of God. That's the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so thankful that's who I'm serving. I'm so thankful that's who I'm holding on. Don't stubbornly hold on to sin. The wages of sin is death. We've got to remember that. We've got to understand that if I forsake the gift of God and I go for the wages of sin, the outcome is not going to be in my favor. It's not going to be something that enhances me or blesses me or provides for me. No, I've got to focus on the gift of God because it'll keep you from evil. The Lord says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for that power that he's able to give. Amen. So, the gift of God. What do I do? Ignore it? Pass on it? Well, I have time later. I want to do. No, I'm going to give myself to the Lord. I'm going to give myself to him. Thank God. All my time, all my talent, whatever I might have, all my treasure, little as that may be, I'm going to give it all to him. Praise God. Because the Lord said, my son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Solomon wrote that down. Solomon recorded it, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Too bad Solomon doesn't have an unblemished testimony about that. Too bad Solomon, who is the wisest man in the world, who didn't make choices that would have a good outcome. Thank the Lord he built the temple. Thank the Lord he did as much as he could, but he was led astray. God help us. Stay strong. Stay straight. Amen. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is acceptable, perfect. Perfect? This world's not perfect. No, it's not. God is. God is. And God can bring that perfection in your experience, the perfect will of God. Amen. Let's stand. The gift of God. Oh, my. Look back on when you were baptized. Relive that experience a little bit. Not that you got to get in the cold water again. No, just remember how cold it was. Remember who was there. Remember who prayed with you when you received the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. How incredible those experiences were. Amen. How powerful the presence of God. How wonderful to know the one who is wonderful coming and dwelling right within you. Supernaturally demonstrating his power. I don't want it to get old. Old from the standpoint of time passing. Old from the standpoint of God never changes. Right. You know, he did that 50 years ago, and praise God, he's still doing it. Amen. He's still faithful. He's still there. Praise God. And we know his power is never diminished, never bankrupt, never runs out. But it's the blessing of the Lord that keeps coming. Hallelujah. Let's come and pray here for a few minutes. God bless those who are watching online. I hope you join in with us in prayer, as the power of God is so great. I'm feeling the sweet presence of the Lord. Praise God. I'm excited about the gift of God. I'm thankful that we can rejoice in what he's provided and how he doesn't run out on you. He doesn't forsake you. He doesn't just leave you hanging, so to speak. Amen. He continues his blessing. Amen. Let's worship him together again here now.